What races besides your own would your parents prefer you to marry? Number one would be black,
for sure.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a in the
tax write-off.
It's the suburban. I don't know if that's true. My dad's a CPA. I'll have to check with him.
Have you ever had a question you wanted to ask the opposite race, but you were too nervous to ask?
I'm Turner Sparks.
And I'm Phil Duckett.
And this is Black and White Advice.
Where we answer all your questions about race, even the scary ones.
This is Black and White Advice. If you've got a question but you're scared to ask, just drop the boys a message, because they're up to the task. They're rolling the dice. They ain't
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Black and White Advice. We're back. I'm Turner Sparks.
I'm the real deal. Phil the Thrill. How we feeling?
Phil the Thrill Duckett. Come on. Got Joe Russell the Muscle producing. We got your questions, your Black and White Advice questions coming up in a little bit. We have White Lies and Dark Truths coming up even later with Joe Russell. But before all that, we have our first ever guest, Joe. In studio.
We're coming up, boys.
From Bangladesh.
Flew him out just for the show.
Naveed Mahbub. Otherwise, you might know him as the Jimmy Kimmel of Bangladesh, the only late night comedy host in Bangladesh. Is that correct?
There's another one now, but mine was the first one. And I'm actually, let me add this, I'm the poor man's version of Jimmy Kimmel Live over there.
The poor man's Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah. Well, so we want to get to know you. So first of all, people have been writing into our show and they're like, all right, well, you're black and you're white, but what about other races? There's other races in the world. Why aren't you having other races on? We told everybody, shut up.
No,
we will have it soon. We will be bringing on other people soon. So you're our very first guest.
Is it a coincidence that I'm brown? You know, it's like you plus you equals me or something like that.
Yes. This is what we needed. We needed a third voice.
I think you've covered
black
all.
Black and white makes Bangladesh. I did not know that
That's
equation.
That's the combo.
Damn.
Well, that made Barack Obama.
Oh, you almost failed my boy Barack.
Wait, Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, That's true. You think he got a little Bangladesh on him?
I have a feeling I've seen him around though, back in Bangladesh.
Maybe I missed that Wikipedia entry. Is he part Bangladesh?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we have a lot of Husseins over there.
Can I make that the first question? Because yeah. I want to get to know. I got questions for Bangladesh. I think Phil and I both do. Is it Bangladeshi? Is that the term?
The country is Bangladesh.
Yeah.
And the people are called Bangladeshis. It's just like Bangladesh is America. Bangladeshi is American.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. But I guess so. I'm made of questions. Bangladeshi, so y'all don't fuck with India. Like those, like the Indians and Bangladesh, like they're not cool, right?
No, I mean, there's been a lot of thing on the media. I think it's really hyped up. The two countries have been very, very good friends for many years. And when the country was born in 71, India actually came and...
1971?
Yeah, it's just a 54-year-old country. I mean, older than you. Damn. So...
Our parents are older than Bangladesh.
Right. And did Bangladesh break off from India?
No, from Pakistan. So if you want a little 30-second history, British were the British were in what was known as the what is still is known as the Indian subcontinent. So they came in 1757. They were there for 190 years. Then the first Brexit happened. They left. And as it always happens, when they leave, things get broken up.
Yeah.
So 1947, India was broken up into Pakistan and India. Now, Pakistan was, there was a West Pakistan and an East Pakistan. So this was the British grand scheme that, you know, all Muslims will be in a country. Well, guess what? There's another country between. No problem. Same religion will keep them together. But that's not the point. So East Pakistan and West Pakistan, same country, separated by India. It's almost like Canada and Mexico isn't one country and America is right in the middle. So in 71, there was a war and India came and helped in the war. And then East Pakistan became Bangladesh.
Really?
Why did they split it down the middle?
Because white people divide and conquer, fucking shit up.
Well, I mean, I think this was like their Amway scheme. You know, it was like their residual. So, you know, this is what happens. Even, you know, if I can say, this is also the problem with everywhere in the Middle East. This is what the British do. I'm sorry if anybody British is
fuck
here.
Fuck that no, no. shit. Talk
this,
your mind.
This is the show. This okay. The show is don't apologize.
All right. So here's the deal. Okay. Here's the map. Okay. So you're going to see my bald patch. Ignore that. Look at this virtual map. So when the British left, their grand scheme is that, okay, it's very simple. There are Muslims and there are Hindus. So the Hindus are going to be here in India. And over here, the Muslims are going to be here. And then...
This is the worst British accent I've ever heard.
But that's okay. Wait till you hear my Trump impression. First Bangladeshi to do that. And so then the deputy said, but, my lord, there are some non-Muslims over here. Well, okay, fine. Make them the same country. But there's India right in between. It's like an ocean over here. That's okay. We have the Pacific Ocean between England and the Falklands, the Malvinas. So this is not a problem. So this was really how... And then they said, what about Kashmir? Ooh, that's it, our residual income. We can supply arms over there forever. Ting-ting. So anyway, so they...
I don't even know what that meant.
Okay, so there's a...
reminds me of that history class I failed in college.
All right.
That is entertaining, though.
All right.
Wait, did they build a bridge at least?
If that's
between the two Pakistans?
If they would have built a bridge, that would have been the longest bridge in the world, because it takes 2 hours to fly from West Pakistan to East Pakistan on a Boeing jetliner. So it's 1,000 miles apart. So you have the same country separated by 1,000 miles.
And it's still East and West Pakistan to this day?
No.
Now it's Bangladesh.
Now it's Bangladesh. Gotcha. So... a lot of reasons, you know, that religion-wise same, but culturally different. There was a lot of discrimination. Then, see, you know what? We want to be our own country. Yeah. And then...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Do you discriminate in a country full of all brown people? How do you know who to...
Well, I mean, just the same way the whole Africa is being discriminated against, even in the U.S. You know, you're all Americans.
You know the difference between an American black and an African black. We got a different vibe. You can tell.
And you also have the Latino blacks, you know?
The Afro-Latinas.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just learning all these different things right now. I think
what's a Latino? Is that the Puerto Rican people who use the N-word?
No, it's the dark skin. It's what Sammy Sosa used to look like before he bleached his skin. That's Afro-Latina.
Yes.
Now I'm getting lost, but... But what I'm getting a sense of is that there are different shades of, I don't want to sound, you know, it's not a pun, but different shades of
blacks,
right?
Yeah.
And then I think that it's human beings, we create these divisions that, okay, fine, we're the same, but for this little tiny reason, I want to discriminate.
So colorism is still a thing, is what you're saying, depending on the shade of dark. Like in most societies, the lighter you are, the better you're treated. So the
In Bangladesh and India and Pakistan, this is a joke. The lighter you are, the more good-looking you're considered to be. So pardon my being politically incorrect. You'll be an ugly-ass guy over there. me, I'm going to be okay. Turner Sparks, I mean, Donald Trump is going to be like the Brad Pitt in Bangladesh. You know, that's how it is.
So the white man wins either way.
He didn't finish the sentence about me. How am I going to be?
What's that?
You said Turner Sparks, but then you
said
you'd
be Brad Pitt.
I said Donald Trump will be Brad Pitt because he's even more beautifully colored. He's not only white, he's orangish white.
Yes, so he's
like Brad Pitt. You'll be maybe Al Pacino in the days.
Hey,
okay, so that's
we'll
too bad.
It.
Not too bad.
Hoo-ah! Not I'm ugly as shit. Well, I go over there and take all the motherfuckers up.
And I'll add this thing. They actually have
This is Bangladesh and India?
Because we look the same. So that part, we are all on the same boat with You know, fairer you are, the more good looking you are. They actually have a skin whitening cream over there.
Yes.
It's a multi-billion-dollar business. And then people rub that skin to be fairer. And then you say, okay, Ryan, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
Just because you're fairer. And after the
I gotta move to this place because I just get called pale everywhere I'm here.
You'll be a stud, man. I'll tell you, man. You'll be a stud. Well, you went to China. You got a beautiful wife from Asia, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, what the hell? She's going to kick your ass, man. I mean, you want another one? Are you a Muslim? You want 4 wives? Come on.
She can come with me. I'm just saying I want to be a star. I want to be...
Oh, you'll be a star.
Yeah. That's probably the only reason why I've ever considered being Muslim. 4 wives?
4 wives.
That's the only thing that really stands out.
I want to get to that question. Okay. So, because Bangladesh has arranged marriage, right?
Not really. I went through one, but it's not common.
Though. You're in arranged marriage.
Oh, hell yeah.
So what's better, arranged marriage or what we call love marriage is the other one, right?
They call it love marriage versus an arranged marriage.
What's better, love marriage or arranged marriage?
It all depends. You know, after 5 years, you figure it out which one was better.
Right.
But in my case, and I think I talked about this earlier many years ago when we were having a conversation.
This is called me teeing you up.
Yeah. What is it called? Me?
Go ahead, fine.
You got to go
slow. I'm setting you up for the question.
Okay. All right. So you got to go slow because I'm from Bangladesh. I think in Bangla, you know, there's a processing time. There's a delay.
The translation.
Yeah. So because you say something, I copy paste from my left brain to my right brain, feed it through Google Translate, that English comes out. There's a delay. So you go slow. That's what I say. When I do comedy, I tell people, if you heckle me, I'll respond tomorrow by email. So you got to go slow. So anyway, long story. So I went through an arranged marriage. This was an anomaly. But if you really think about it, every marriage actually is arranged. Somebody arranged it, right?
No.
If you're dating,
are you married?
No, I'm not
married. Okay, fine. You're married. So you met your wife, you went out for a while, then you decided to get married. So who arranged it? The two of you arranged it. So that is an arranged marriage.
Love arranged it, though.
So that Cupid was the analog Tinder, maybe, but... You arrange it. So this is the way I look at it.
Our marriage was arranged by the Drunken Clam dive bar in Suzhou, China. That's where we met.
There you go. So that means they arrange it. But in my case, here's the thing. When people date, you know, what are you doing? You're collecting data. And it costs money. You're going on a date. After 2 years, you spend up $50,000 and you break up. And say, you know what? You start the process all over again. You've depreciated by that time. How do you come to that decision? You collate all the data you collected over 6 months, a year, spending $50,000. And it's hard to get the data because both of you who are dating are in a marketing phase. So I compiled all the data, gave my requirements. I'm an engineer. So I said, Mom, these are my requirements. Go get somebody. And then we sat down for an hour, went through that same data list that you go through for a year and $50,000, like a checklist, like a halal Tinder. And then we've been married for 26 years.
But are y'all allowed to get divorced?
Of course.
Because I thought you just kill her if she
tried to leave. No. Come on, dude.
I don't know. I only watch this shit on TV. That's
no,
what
you
asking.
Watch Fox News, I think. That's the problem. So here's, I'm sorry. But here's the thing. As a Muslim, we have this, we actually have a prenuptial.
You sign a prenup, arranged?
So no, I mean, you actually went before, when you sign the marriage, you actually have to write it down that if we get divorced, this is the amount of money I got to pay her. And the thing is that you don't have to wait till you get divorced. The first night of marriage, when you're ideally supposed to consummate the marriage,
sure,
you pay that money to the wife. Otherwise, you ain't getting lucky that night.
So it's prostitution on the first night?
It's
prostitution. You put the money on the dresser the first night? By definition, that's prostitution.
And it goes to her.
And it's halal.
I love halal meat.
Yeah, it is halal. It is halal. No, I haven't given that money to my...
And I'm going
to
call...
I'm going to say pause
because I did not like how that sounded. But yeah, halal carts are my favorite. But
no, I haven't given that money to my wife 26 years. She still said, honey, you owe me that money. I said, well, yeah, you know, whatever.
You didn't put it on the dresser? Who comes? Does the dad come?
No, it's not that. The dresser, it's not that. Supposedly, I mean, it's like a symbolic. There you go. I mean, the thing is, you're supposed to pay her, you know, take her, you know, somehow. It's not that you put the money on the table, otherwise nothing's happening. It's like a symbolic.
So
when you're supposed to give the money off to her, it's just, this is your gift.
Imagine your girl gets naked and you get a Venmo request for $30,000.
Does it come from the family or from her directly? Like, does her dad send you it?
No, it's from the groom's side. So it's ideally the groom or the groom's parents.
Now, do it like in American culture, does the woman's family pay for the wedding, or are you paying for the wedding and you got to give them money
too? Okay, here's another thing. We have two receptions. So one is the main wedding reception is hosted by the bride side. And then 2 days or 3 days later, there's another one, which is hosted by the groom side. So it's like evens out.
Oh,
zero.
I like that better.
Yeah, zero sum gain.
Right. Okay.
So when your arranged marriage... how long did you say you and your mom spent working on it? Or your mom goes and finds the girl?
Oh yeah, but you know, we are family friends.
Okay.
So we, and then they said, you know, I mean, you want, her name is Zara. Not that Zara, otherwise I'd be retired. But, or you, some may be boycotting me. But we, you know, they said, yeah, you know, you just sit down and talk for an hour. We sat down. It was a nice
1 hour.
Yeah, 1 hour.
It and was then a, you're like, let's do it.
Yeah, because we went through all the checklist. So if there's
what
a
what was on the checklist?
Okay, same. For like, okay, do you get up late?
Do you get up late
or do you sleep in? Okay, fine. So if it's a match, it's like a one. It's like a mental spreadsheet. If there's no match, zero, half and half, 0.5.
Yeah.
37 points. You add them up, divide by 37, multiply by 100. That's the cross correlation factor. Came out to be 94.75% in my case.
94.75.
Yeah.
Phil, what would you have?
That's a good deal.
I wouldn't take the fucking test.
No, on your checklist. I think I would have. Do you like Seinfeld? That'd probably be on there. Because I watch a lot of Seinfeld.
Mine would be, where do you stand on fellatio? How do you feel about Raw? I would ask like the main shit that I would be concerned
but
with.
But it's you and your mom making the list together?
No, your mom making the list. That's what I thought he said. Mom, does she suck it like she needs?
Stop. Let's start again. So basically, I tell my mom, okay, I'm back in Bangladesh because I was living in the U.S., right.
Oh, you went to University of Michigan, right?
Right, and I was working.
And you're a doctor?
Big win.
I'm an engineer.
Y'all beat OSU this year.
Go Blue.
Yeah, you did good this year.
Go Blue. So I was living here, and then I went back for the Christmas holidays.
Yes.
And then, you know, I said, you know, I want to get married.
Oh, wait, but also, you're an engineer from the university. Look at him smile. From the University of Michigan coming home.
Yeah.
Yeah, she saw dollar signs.
So the moms in Bangladesh are lining up to get an interview with your mom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What are you, a civil engineer?
I'm an electrical engineer.
Damn. Okay, Mr. Hands.
And then that time, now I'm like, but that time I was like 30 pounds lighter, 40 pounds lighter, more hair.
Yeah.
And I had done a Pepsi commercial, so people knew me.
In Bangladesh?
In Bangladesh.
How did you do that?
Oh, I mean, they were doing a casting, and then I went audition. This was when I was...
So Pepsi's doing open castings in Bangladesh?
This was when I was doing... I did my undergrad in Bangladesh.
Okay.
So that time I was like a junior, and they were casting. So I went there, and they liked me. And then, you know, I was in good shape. You know, I was
and this is a nationwide commercial.
Nationwide commercial. And that time, we only had one TV channel in the
country.
Oh, my
God!
So everybody watched me. Everybody knew me.
So you are Jimmy Kimmel. Fuck the poor man shit. That's all I know.
And here's the funny part. You know what? You talk about coincidence. Zara, my wife, with whom I have an arranged marriage... She was on a 7-Up commercial.
Wow. Are those competitive brands?
No. They're both under the PepsiCo. So they're under the same. Okay, it's not the Coca-Cola thing.
So that was arranged. Yeah.
But what are the odds? Arranged marriage where she turns out that she was in a 7-Up
commercial. Was that on the checklist? She has to be on a soda commercial?
No, but it was like a bonus point, you know?
26 years after knowing each other an hour is absolute madness. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, I mean, the thing
I can't watch the same porno three times, so I'm just like, you know what I mean? I'm like, wow, that's just impressive commitment.
But then again, this is an exception to the rule. And there's a gamble no matter what, you know?
So now you're the poor man's Jimmy Kimmel. How many TV stations are now in Bangladesh?
Oh, now there are about 60-something.
60?
Yeah.
Okay. But you're the late-night host on one of them.
I was. It's not running right now, but I was on one of the main channels. So we also have the top three, like the CBS, NBC, and ABC that you have over here.
Yeah.
So we also have the three top ones, and mine was on one of those top three ones. So
what kind of ratings is that? How many people are watching?
Their rating system is based on a very small data set, sample size rather. They would say... the population is 170 million.
Yeah.
Their estimate was about 10 million people watched it.
Just
it was pretty
million.
High.
Gotcha.
Number-wise, it was pretty high because a lot
What is the real Jimmy Kimmel? He's like 1.2 million.
Yeah, but you
That's
also...
That's what I'm saying. You're the Kimmel.
No, but the thing is that...
the poor man's Naveed Mahbub.
Probably.
Hey.
Probably. Rating-wise, but his one person watching, it may be equivalent to 1,000 people watching in Bangladesh, dollars-wise. You see? But keep in mind, Bangladesh has 170 million people, and many of them are living overseas, and the channel actually had stations in many countries, USA, UK. So there were people watching there too. Bangladeshi is overseas. So you count those numbers and it adds up.
We will be right back, everybody, with your black and white advice question.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hey, you want to get bonus content, early episodes, and have your questions answered on the show?
Well, then subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blackandwhiteadvice and subscribe right now.
Do it, and we'll give you a shout out on a future episode.
And I might call you the N-word.
All right, we're back with your black and white advice questions. Are you ready to rock, Navid, Phil?
Let's do it.
Question number one. This comes from Chris in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Chris says, I am Jewish and my parents really want me to marry a Jewish woman, but I can't find anyone I click with in the area. This is a question for all of us. He says, what races besides your own would your parents prefer you to marry? Besides your own?
I'm like, yeah, I mean.
I can go first if you want.
Please.
All right, so definitely number one. I mean, this is pretend I'm not married right now.
Right.
Before all this. Number one would be black for sure.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a in the
tax write-off.
It's the suburban. I don't know if that's true. My dad's a CPA. I'll have to check with him. But I don't know if marrying a black person is a tax write-off. If it is, he would definitely want me to do that. That would be his number one thing. He's the cheapest guy on earth. He'd be like, yes, get money out of this. It's if you're for the suburban white liberal community. There's nothing status-wise higher than having your son marry a black
because it shows you're inclusive.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Especially in a post-Obama world. So what the white women all did in my neighborhood at that time with Obama, they all got the Obama shirt. And jogging, yoga, to the gym, whatever, they wore the Obama t-shirt everywhere they could go as a status symbol.
To let you know we're allies.
Yes.
Gotcha.
But an even something that would trump all of that. I mean, if you were gay, that would be helpful. You know, if their son's, my mom's, a very good friend of my mom has a gay son, brags about it all the time. But marrying a black woman, I think, would be the
A. So if you married a black man, you would be the cat's meow.
Absolute cat. I wouldn't pay for a lunch at the country club ever. Yeah. We would walk in and people would be falling all over themselves to try to.
I need to move over there. Y'all acting like that. Treat me like a king.
So black would be number one. But my wife is Chinese, also. Not as braggable, but you can brag about it. You know, you still can look down your nose at the people whose kids married white people.
Okay. That makes sense. For me, if I wasn't in a relationship, I think for sure Spanish, because that's they cater to their man how black women cater to their man. You know, like very similar how they treat their partner.
Okay.
So I think
the family would be happy about that. Can I ask a Spanish question?
I'm not Spanish, so I don't know if I can answer.
But just the term Spanish. You mean someone from Spain or like anywhere that speaks Spanish?
You know I ain't talking. I've met two people from fucking Madrid. I'm talking about people who speak Spanish.
Okay. But only in New York do they call those people Spanish.
No.
Like I lived in Miami, the Cubans are just called Cuban. But in New York, they're called Spanish.
See, where I'm from in South Carolina, you speak Spanish, you Mexican. They don't give a fuck.
Well,
where
then there's
from.
That too.
Yeah, you're just Mexican. Okay. So I'd say Spanish meaning you speak
this
Spanish.
This is Dominican.
Yeah, there's so many different types of Spanish. So I just was encompassing everything in the Spanish.
Got it. Okay, cool. So Spanish is number one.
Yeah, Spanish probably number
okay.
one. Okay. What about you?
Do you want to jump in, Navid?
Yeah, so the question was that if I were to marry another race.
Yeah, what would your family, parents, whoever, prefer? For it to be, if it couldn't be someone from Bangladesh.
Oh, okay. See, they're very conservative over there. They'll just say, there's actually a list. Okay, fine. Navid, you're Bangladeshi.
Yes.
So first is Bangladeshi. You're a Bangladeshi Muslim. You're a Bangladeshi Muslim. I said, no, not Bangladeshi. Okay, fine. Then is it an Indian or a Pakistani? Another brown Muslim. No? Then, okay, fine. Then another Muslim. And then, you know, you kind of go, it's fine. Catholic is fine. Because Muslim men actually can marry Christians and Jews. I don't know if you know this.
So if you walked in with a Hindu baddie, that would just be like, fuck no.
Look, I mean, now it's
Hey, no. Let's not beat around the bush here. Could you come home with Hindu and would it be accepted?
It all depends on me, you know. I mean, the thing is, I think my brother, he's got a Swedish wife, you know. And then my parents, yeah.
Oh, he went IKEA.
He went IKEA. He went Nokia. He went everything. because she's
all
half
the Kias.
No, because she's half her dad. Her mom is from Finland, so Nokia is from Finland. So she is on Nokia and IKEA everything. Wow. And so my parents were pretty absolutely cool about it.
Really?
Yeah. So yours would be whatever. But anyway, the hierarchy goes any type of Muslim first.
First.
Even like we're talking Muhammad Ali Muslim.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, you know.
What? Let's get it on the table.
Muhammad Ali Muslim is crazy as fuck.
It depends on which stage of Muhammad Ali also. No, but.
You know, you mean when he's still not the Joe Biden stage of Muhammad Ali?
Yeah. So no, I'm not talking about in my case. I'm talking about in general,
of course,
in Bangladesh.
Generalis.
You know, that's, and it's also, you see that over here, the Bangladeshis or Indians or Pakistanis, that's the kind of they prefer to go to. Not that, you know, you can go that way, because it's such a global world right now. I mean, you just can't have these strict boundaries.
Next question.
All right.
This is from James in Portland, Maine. Comedy question. Phil, what is the whitest comedy room you've ever performed in, and how did it go? And Turner, same question, but for black comedy rooms. And we'll put Navid in here, and you can take your pick. Anything that's not your own culture. Phil, you go first.
The whitest room. Sounds like a regular Friday to me.
I was going
to
say, you perform in a lot of white rooms.
I perform in a lot of white comedy clubs. But the whitest of them all wasn't even a comedy club. I did the VFW in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And when I tell you, you could feel the racism, like, it was like, I've never, you could wear it. Like, you know what I mean? It was just such a, when I walked in, it was like in those TV shows where the DJ's like, like, that's what it felt like. Like, all eyes were on me. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, and it was all Trump country. Like, and they all had their hats and stuff.
Was anyone else on the show, or was it you doing an hour?
No, I was the headliner, but there was other people on the show. I was the only black comic, though.
Did they know who they were going to see? Or was it like a Blazing Saddles situation?
No, they knew that they had comedians coming in from New York, but I don't know if they knew, like, the dynamic of who they were going to be. And so, yeah, the white comics went first, and then the headliner was my black ass.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was like, what's up with Donald Trump? I'm playing. I didn't do that. But nah, you could just feel. I ended up having a great set, but I was very self-conscious of it because it was even whiter than what I was used to. And I was in that part of town where it clearly was like Klan country. So I was just like,
did anybody just get up and walk out?
No, not even a little bit. I was surprised.
And they were cool.
They were pretty cool by the end of it. You know what I mean? A couple of times, I said something about Joe Biden, and the whole room booed.
Oh, like I've done those.
Yeah, they're
I've
like, boo. Rooms. I was like, all right, settle down. And then they were cool, but they all let you know, like, we fucking hate him, and we're.
I've done a show where I said something about, I just mentioned the United States, and like, I think I said it in a good, maybe that we're okay, or this country's, we're getting back on track, but I meant it was post-pandemic. I meant it pandemic-wise, like, oh, people are getting back to work. And immediately it erupted into a, what's that joke, what's the thing people chant when they hate Joe Biden? Let's go, Brandon. It was a let's go, Brandon chant.
Which I never understood.
It's code for F Joe Biden.
Who's Brandon, his son?
It has nothing to do with it. Literally, people were chanting F Joe Biden at like a NASCAR rally. And the announcer,
they're so stupid, they thought his name was Brandon.
The announcer couldn't hear it and went, oh, they're saying, let's go, Brandon. That must be, who's Brandon on the racetrack today?
Oh, my and so, God.
And so then they picked up on it and they went, oh, that's a way for us to do it, but we're not cussing around our kids. We can say, let's go, Brandon.
When you have to code who you're chanting for, it's normally a problem. Yeah, but okay, Brandon. I never knew that.
Blackest room I've ever done. It wasn't even that black, but it was Kevin Sean's show.
In Harlem.
No, it wasn't even in Harlem. He brought Harlem down to the comedy shop or the Lantern.
He brought Harlem down.
And when I tell you I bombed, like I've never bombed in my life, it was one of those where I Ted the punchline and I wasn't sure if the mic was still on.
Is this thing on? Is so funny.
Because I was used to doing well. I could do pretty well.
Maybe he didn't hear me. I said, jabroni. And
I think I might have even done that. I'm like, hello? Is this working? Are we all right? What's
that is the worst feeling.
And all I could hear was Kevin Sean in the back of the room laughing at me.
Because we automatically do that. I can't even help when somebody starts bombing. I get such secondhand embarrassment where I start laughing because I'm uncomfortable.
Oh, 100%. But see, if someone's bombs every time they're on stage, I'm just not even in the room.
Oh, yeah.
But when a friend of mine who I know is pretty good bombs, I'm watching.
You laugh.
I'm watching the whole bomb because it's a surprise.
Yeah, right? You're like, tough crowd.
It's definition of comedy. Yeah, something happens that you don't expect to happen. So I bombed. Immediately when the first joke didn't work, I got self-conscious because then all of a sudden it's a different demographic of people. So you're like, oh, maybe these jokes are only for white people. Yeah. Maybe I have nothing that relates. I lost all confidence. And the next 9 minutes was me delivering my punchlines, but in the worst way ever, with no confidence. And so then I just bombed for 10 minutes. And then I left the room. One of those were when I left the room, I just walked straight out.
That's the word. Just go straight to the car.
Straight home.
Yeah.
I didn't even stay in the comedy club.
Oh, when I bomb, I'm never staying. I'm going right home.
One time, me and Phil were drunk at the Lantern. And I was like, hey, man, I've never performed in front of a black room before. Do you got any tips and tricks for me? He's like, first of all, no, don't say any gay shit. No gay shit. They don't fuck with that. And then he said, don't do anything about molestation or anything like that. I was like, okay, cool. A couple weeks later, it just so happened that everyone that was barked into the Lantern was black. So it was, the Lantern became a black room.
Now's my chance.
Yeah. So I went up there and I was doing good for a while, but then I started running out of material. So I started doing the gay jokes and the pedophile jokes, and it got silent. And all I heard was just like, people were like, and I could hear Phil's voice echoing in my head, like, don't do gay shit, gay shit, gay shit.
Don't do gay shit.
Why'd you do it?
Because I didn't have any more jokes.
Oh, that was the same thing with me. When I bombed on Kevin Sean's show, I didn't have a lot of material at that time. So I had no switch up. I just had 10 minutes that I knew worked. And when the first minute didn't, I'm like, I'm just going to go bomb for the next time.
Yo, I completely remember that conversation. And it's still true to this day. When people are like, what's the difference? I'm like, don't do nothing that be considered gay, all right? Because they don't. Now, if you're gay and talk about shit, you can talk about it, but you can't go into too much detail. But you can just be like, yeah, I'm gay, so what?
Yeah,
but if you like, so I'm in here blowing this dude, they're like, nah.
That's what Joe went into. Yeah. Navid, yeah. You got anything to add here?
I've done both. I've done black rooms. I've done all white rooms. And the whitest white was Helsinki, Finland.
Whoa.
Stockholm, Sweden. I mean, here everybody's white, blue eyes and blonde hair.
Pure white.
There even I felt conscious.
Yeah.
In the US, here you get everything. I've done shows in Harlem, in Bronx, in Brooklyn. In fact, I go there a lot because this is very good exercise that if I work in front of different. So I've done all white, all black. I've done Asian. I've done in March, I was in Serbia. Okay, these are all white, but the former Eastern Bloc, Soviet Bloc countries. So I've done 30 countries. So from that perspective, I think I've done the whole gamut. And knock on wood, hasn't been bad. You know, I mean,
go
ahead.
What do you think the easiest race is to perform for? I mean, of course, your own people, because they get you, they get your humor, your language. But if you're not talking about what do you find, like, what race is normally easier?
You know, I would say, because I come from the corporate world, I look at myself as a service provider. My job is to go read the room and get a sense of what they will like and then talk about that.
Gotcha.
And some things are very common. If you're talking about kids, about family, about your job or your boss, you do it in Serbia. It's fine. If it's a MAGA crowd, they still have the same issue.
Right,
so
right.
So then you're playing, not only are you playing safe, you're just bring in. You're there for a date, have the date, just get out of this. No need to alienate them. But that's the way I look at it.
I think Indian people laugh a lot. Anytime I'm doing like a lot of Indian people in the crowd, I feel like they're like, it's an easy, they're there to, the laughs come like the first punchline hits right away.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always feel very comfortable with an Indian.
Do you do
audience.
A lot of Indian?
And I'll tell
just
you.
Just when Indians are in the crowd. Yeah, I mean, I perform around the world. I've never performed in India.
Right. I've never done an all Indian crowd.
No, but when there's like a half Indian or mostly Indian, I don't know.
And I'll tell you that because this whole stand-up comedy is a novelty among the South Asians. It's the last 10, 15 years. In fact, that's pretty much what it is in the whole world. Asia, Europe, Middle East, Africa, Southern America, the last 10, 15 years, it's really blown up. And so it's really still a novelty. That's why when you say you see a brown audience, they're there to laugh because it's still like what the U.S. was in the 70s.
They're not jaded.
They're not jaded yet. Because the 70s, you had Richard Pryor, you had Bill Cosby, you know, just talk about his comedy side. And then...
the greats.
And yeah. So and then everybody said, wow, we haven't seen anything like this. So for us Asians, Europeans, Africans, it's really... I'm sure if you've done shows in China, it's the same thing. They said, whoa, this is awesome. So I'm ready
to
laugh.
It's so new.
It's so new. Yeah. I'm going to laugh. So that's why it's not that easy to make them laugh. It's that they're very eager to laugh.
Yes. All right, last one. And I have to emphasize, this is not a question from me. Joe, do not clip this and put it out as a clip, and it sounds like I'm the one saying it. This is from Tim, who emailed us in. I don't know where he's from, what he says. His question, why don't black people tip their bartenders?
This is from Turner's Fenster. It's definitely
God him. Damn it, I didn't ask this!
You want me to go, since I'm black?
I think so. I think it's mostly
a question. Why don't black people tip? Well, let me tell you something. It's all about how you were raised, okay? My father actually... God rest his soul, he used to over tip because we have such a bad stigma of not tipping. He never wanted people to think that of him, so he'd always tip too much just to like say, gotcha.
I know,
bitch.
Jewish people would do that.
Yeah, yeah, for good reason. I used to work at Junior's. They need to over tip. So black people, man, and not all of them. I feel like, again, how you're raised. I grew up with a successful family, you know, very predominantly, you know, successful. We were good people, you know what I mean? So I think we always knew to tip because that was just the status quo. But then like when I go out like with cousins or even I've been out with my homies, like it's a blood table full of young black dudes. And then the bill comes and they leave $2 on a $200 bill, a $200 tab. And I have literally gone back to the table and put some more money on
really?
The table. Yeah, because I'm like, you ain't gonna have me looking like that. I just think it's about how you raise. I think a lot of black folks, and I don't want to say black folks, maybe people in general, but I know a lot of black people that I talk to, they're like, why the fuck am I tipping? They get paid by the hour, motherfucker. That's the tip. Like, you get paid for this. It's not like you're doing it for free. I'm like, I think what it is, if you worked in the service industry like I've bartended, I've waited thousands of tables from the time I was 18, you know how hard you work, and you know that you're only getting paid like $2.50 an hour. So people think that minimum wage, but server minimum wage is not the same as regular minimum wage. So you don't make a lot of money. The tips is what you live off of.
Here's what needs to change. The companies should be paying people more money.
They should be paying regular minimum wage like any other job, and then the tips are extra.
I looked it up one time. Do you know where tipping comes from in the United States? It's rooted in slavery.
No shit.
Yes.
They flick you a nickel. Like, don't spend it all in one place, boy.
So what happened is when slavery got outlawed in the 1860s, 1865, in the South, they decided, all right, well, now we have to pay black people. But guess what? You can work here, but you're going to make your money in tips.
Yeah.
There's going to be a new thing called tips. And that means I'm not paying you. Over my dead body, I've never paid you before. Yeah. I'm not going to pay you now.
But if they see that you were good enough to deserve some money, we'll flick you a shilling, little black boy.
That's it. The customer can give you money if they want.
Yeah.
So the fact that there's still companies out there or businesses or restaurants paying people $2.50 an hour, that's a extension of slavery. That slavery.
Well, they're still doing it.
Today.
All right. I just got fired a year ago from my last serving job. The checks are still bullshit.
It's insane. There should be a law that you should have to pay people $15 an hour or 20, whatever the minimum wage is. That should be the minimum. And then if people want to tip on top of that, they can. What I don't get, there are coffee shops in town.
They've taken tipping too far.
Yes.
If I got a fucking, you give me a cold brew and hand me a cup, and I got to put the sugar, the cream, and everything, and then you're like, spin it around. Do you want a tip? Fuck no. I'm not tipping nothing.
I do not want it. Not only that, I know of a coffee shop in my neighborhood. The owner is the one working there, and then they ask you for a tip. I'm like, you own the restaurant.
Right.
What am I tipping? You're not. The idea of tipping is because we think people only make $2.50 an hour. Right. But now you're the owner, so right. What am I?
And we know this place was more than $2.50, so you bought it, so you clearly got money.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about
you? What do you think as an outsider in the U.S.? What's your opinions on tipping?
Well, I mean, I agree with what you just said, that they work very hard. They don't get paid. They don't get paid well. So, I mean, if you can tip them, do tip them. And you know, in many countries, you probably know this, is that they actually include what they call a service charge. So So let's say the bill is $100. They actually add a 15% or 20% service charge.
The autocrat.
So you have to mandatorily pay $120, and that goes to not just that server, everybody.
It's a pool. So
every server and every chef, everybody walks out with a pool of money. So it's like guaranteed.
Gotcha.
I want to say this. I do tip. I know I just went off on tipping. I still tip. What percentage do you guys do? Because now it started out 15, 18, 20, and now it's at least in New York, 20, 25, 30 or something?
My minimum is 10%, and it's based off service. So whether you suck or not, I'm going to give you 10%. Now, if you're good and I can tell because I used to do this. I was a server. So I know when you're in the weeds. I know when you're really fucking stuck. But I also know when you a lazy piece of shit and you ain't asked me, do I need a refill of water, and there ain't nobody in here.
Yeah.
So 10% is the minimum. I'll go up to 20 if it's stellar service. But if you just leave me by myself and I'm having to ask for chips and guac twice, yeah, you're going to get that 10.
I never go over 20. I think somewhere in the middle of the pandemic, they went from 15, 18, 20 to 20, 25, 30 in the buttons, prompts, the spinning around. It's going to ask you a few questions. Just say it's going to ask for a tip. We all know what the few questions are. It's not going to be like, how do you feel today?
I tipped a chick 50% because she had some massive cans one time.
I was like,
you know what? I'm going to tip you half the bill. That's fine. That is fine with me.
At McDonald's?
The cans are cans.
Yeah, in my case also, like, I mean, if minimum 10, I mean, even if the person was really bad.
Yeah.
I'll say, you know, okay, fine. I don't want him to cuss me. You know?
Yeah, or maybe he's having a bad day.
Yeah, it could be a bad day. Giving the person the benefit of the doubt. So at least 10. Good is 20. Even I've gone 25.
Yeah.
They say, you know what? I mean, this 5 is not going to kill me.
Right.
And it's going to, you know, I mean, this person really went above and beyond.
But I think what people need to also realize about this tipping thing is, yeah, it's a great gesture, but I've been in positions where I've saved up for 2 weeks to go eat at this place. I know it's expensive. Now everybody's like, well, if you can't afford it, you shouldn't go. I can afford the food. But then if I got to give 20% of a $250, $300 bill, sometimes I just don't have it. Like, I've literally used all my money to pay for them. You know what I mean? So I understand that too. Peeps, not every time. You know what I mean? I think if it's something that you regularly do, you're just a cheapskate. But sometimes there are just extraneous circumstances, something like that. You know,
extenuating circumstances.
So I don't always judge people on that because some of those Michelin star restaurants, I'm like, dog, I done paid $500 for the meal.
Yeah.
Like, 20% of 500 is outlandish.
I just don't see why they don't work it into the bill, and then that's just the price that's on the menu.
Which, yeah, it's like, okay, this one.
That way I know, like, oh, this piece of steak, it's not $50, it's $82.
Right.
That's what it would be.
And you can make your decision accordingly.
Yeah, and then you can decide. Anyway, all right. We're out of time for questions, but we have one last thing to do. First of all, Navid, do we have anything to plug? I know you've been here a few months, and you're going back soon, but anything to plug before we go?
Yeah, I want to be a household name in America.
Yes, Navid, my boo.
If you need a comic, let me know.
Can we check you out online or social media?
Yeah, what's the best it's Navid Mahboob, NavedMahboob, all my...
Mahboob.
It's like Mahboob.
Hey.
Navid, like Feliz Navidad.
Yes.
Mahboob, like Mahboob.
Them titties.
Mahboob.
Yes.
They used to call me Squeeze at one point.
I like that.
Squeeze is a good stage name. We were talking about stage names last episode, maybe the one before. I think just Squeeze.
Yeah, I can say Squeeze Mahboob.
Squeeze Mahboob.
Squeeze Mahboob.
Or want to see
Navid Squeeze Mahboob.
All right, last thing we do before we go, Joe Russell. Joe the Muscle Russell. White Lies and Dark Truths. What did we get right? What did we get wrong today?
So I just looked at a few rates of things. You guys are talking about arranged marriage versus love marriage. And the divorce rate for a love marriage is 40 to 50% in the U.S., while an arranged marriage is 4%.
I told you they kill them!
96% success!
Again, I'd like to check the hostage rate on that.
Yeah, maybe like if you're forced into getting married, maybe you also can't be forced to get divorced.
I just said that, and he was like, that was a stereotype. I was like, y'all kill them if they just, you show your hair or you leave, you're a dead
man. My wife says, Navid, you should have an affair. You need to have some controversy, otherwise you'll never get famous.
That is a setup, buddy. You know. Listen to that.
I know. But don't you dare.
Don't you dare. You will get murdered in your sleep.
So you guys are talking about interracial marriages. And so I've decided to look up the top 3 percentages of interracial marriages in the United States.
So what do you think the first one is?
Black and white.
No.
I want to say Asian and white.
And that's number two.
Black and brown.
No.
Black and Asian?
White and Hispanic is 43%.
Ooh, really?
And then white and Asian is 14%, 14.4%. White, black is 11.9%. But they don't show you what if it's male or female. But I think you can all guess. White and Hispanic, what do you think that is?
Well, first of all, you're pronouncing
the man
it wrong.
Man is white.
It's
the
not
man
Hispanic,
is white.
It's Spanish, according to Phil. But the, what, you say the man's white?
The man's white.
Yeah, the man is white. Yeah. The Hispanic
for
is,
sure.
But then white and Asian, that's easy.
White guy.
But white and black.
Is the man's guy. The man's black.
The man's black.
Yeah, and then we find a chick from Walmart.
All right, that is the show. That's the episode, everybody. We will see you next week. Stay black.
Yes, sir. You've got a question, but you're scared to ask. Just drop the boys a message, because they're up to the task. They're rolling the dice. They ain't always nice, but you can't think twice.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.